Welcome to the Gridiron Podcast. Whether you're a returning listener or a new listener, welcome to the podcast. If you're on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe. If you're on another platform, make sure to follow or like. That would be helpful. Thank you. Now, Mike, obviously we had the conference championships this past weekend, and I guess we can start off with the most outrageous part of this entire weekend, the end of the game sequence by the Buffalo Bills against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, Nick, I'm sitting there on my couch watching Josh Allen have a potential to win the game. And I'm like, this is a good situation for the Bills. They have the ball. They got the ball back with 3 minutes and 30 seconds left. And I'm sitting here, take the time. Just let Kansas City burn timeouts. You have the two-minute warning. And what happens? Josh Allen makes a huge play, scrambles for 13 yards, gets a first down, and you have a fresh set of downs now. Except the clock hits 2:25. They had to get a playoff. I was thinking it was a run. They did not run the ball. Instead, Josh Allen threw the ball, almost could have been picked off. Shakir, I guess, stopped running his route or something happened, but they didn't run the football, which means time stopped, which means that they had to run another play. And this time it was another throw, and it was another incomplete pass. And then another incomplete pass. And then finally it was Amari Cooper who had to get 5 yards, and it was a fourth and five very shortly. But what happened to Joe Brady and Sean McDermott? Just the incompetency just went out the entire building. In my opinion, it was so obvious to just a casual viewer, run the ball, get down to the two-minute warning, make Kansas City burn their timeouts, do not turn the ball over.
Yeah, I mean, it's simple football, right? Get the ball down to the two-minute warning, right? Run the clock out. And even if it gets down to like 4 seconds, kick the game-winning field goal. You have a tie game. And it's just, I can't stand how the Bills handle themselves against the Chiefs year in and year out in the playoffs. I actually saw a video earlier today where Josh Allen has been the best quarterback in the playoffs his entire career. Like, best in touchdown interception ratio, best in pass yards, best in rush yards, best in pass touchdowns overall. But then it comes down to versus the Kansas City Chiefs, and he gets screwed again. He got screwed with a Stephon Diggs drop. This year it was Dalton Kincaid. I think last year it was Tyler Bass missing an easy field goal that would have tied the game. Josh Allen needs a lot of help because Josh Allen has been playing great, right? Potential this year's MVP. He needs help around him.
Yeah, I agree fully. You know, as you said it, Josh Allen plays great. Besides for the couple fumbles that happened, which, you know, on a couple drives, slipped out of his hands, wasn't good. But aside from that, as you said, he gave Dalton Kincaid a chance to make a football play. And in a big leverage spot with pressure in Josh Allen's face, he threw that ball and it was right there in Kincaid's hand. And he could not catch it. That is the difference between the Chiefs and the Bills year in, year out. Sometimes you're on the lucky side of the spectrum and sometimes you're on the unlucky side. And it just seems like the Bills are always on the unlucky side. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say the refs were involved in this game because as we just broke down two situations, which would have given the Bills at least a chance to tie the game there. So Tyler Bass knocked a 50-plus yard field goal. Oh, in my opinion, you really needed to get down to the 35, 40-yard line. Mm-hmm. 35 to be safe, 40-yard line to be like, okay, Bass has a chance to hit another 50-yarder. But nonetheless, the Bills just can't get over this hurdle. And I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I wasn't going to mainly say it was on the refs either. Like you were saying, there were multiple situations where the Bills could have won the game. But there were a lot of questionable calls, especially the Xavier Worthy catch, where even on replay, you were able to see that the ball was clearly lodged on the ground. And then there was the, I think it was unnecessary roughness when Travis Kelce basically ran into the guy, basically taunting him. And then at the very end of the game, I believe the call was going to be pass interference or roughing the passer, one of the two, when Josh Allen attempted that miracle of a play and the flag was picked up. So I'm not saying yes, 100% the refs were involved, but it seems to be the same situation over and over and over again with the Chiefs where they just buy a win, right? And I said it last week, this game, probably the Chiefs are going to score over 30 points for the first time this season. And they did, scoring 32. So now I have a question for you. Do we think that this season is a fluke by Kansas City?
You know, it's a really tough answer for me to say because this was a big win. This was a big prove it to me that the Chiefs are legit, and they did it. I can't take credit away from them. I wanted to go back and touch on something that you talked about a little bit. You know, it's annoying to me that this Kansas City team is already talented enough. Their defense is great. Mahomes is obviously in the conversation for an all-time, you know, great. Just these situations that happen with the refs, you know, whether they pick up a flag or whether they don't call something, whether there's a controversial, you know, Josh Allen, did he get the first down or not? It just seems like that's all that's going to be talked about in these games. That's why people hate the Chiefs. And I just want to see a clean game where there's not these controversial situations, because I think the Chiefs are a good football team. It's not like they're not a good football team. It's just a matter of, well, now we're going to go into hypotheticals. What if Josh Allen did get the first down? What if, you know, this play happened? You know, it's just too ridiculous to talk about when you're analyzing a football game because you're going into hypotheticals now and it's not sticking to what is. And it does seem like the Chiefs do get some of the benefit of the doubts, and they are on the positive side of a referee overturning a call or not calling something. It just seems like they're always on that good side, which is annoying and frustrating. But to go back to your question, you know, is it a fluke? I don't think so. I think this is Mahomes and Reed's, was it 16 straight wins in one possession games? I don't think that's a fluke. I think that's coaching. That's, you know, Mahomes making the play when he needs to, and they just get it done. It's not sexy, but they get it done.
Now, I'm going to disagree with you. I think this season was 100% a fluke. I think you're looking at a Kansas City team that was blowing out teams in years past. And this year, I think nearly every single one of their wins this year has been a one-possession game. Now, is that the talent in the NFL is getting better? Very well could be. It's a very competitive league. But I do think that to not score over 30 points all season until, what, yesterday at time of recording, I think that's a huge fluke. Now, to kind of touch on what you were saying about hypotheticals, we saw the same thing with the New England Patriots for multiple years with Tom Brady, where they were getting calls. We saw a lot of it with Dallas Cowboys early 2000s, 2010s. So we were seeing this going on for a while. And we're never going to get a game where every call is perfect. Every single referee is human, unless if somehow we get robots as referees. But I think that's 30 years down the line. But I think going forward, I think this game, the season was a fluke because the offense this year really has not impressed me. Their defense has been good, right? They do have a lot of stars on that team. Nick Bolton, Chris Jones, those sort of guys. But I think it's going to take a lot more to win this year's Super Bowl against the team that they will be facing, which is the Philadelphia Eagles. And we'll get into that game here shortly. But I do think that this season was a fluke.
So to challenge your opinion, I'm not gonna say that the Chiefs are gonna win the Super Bowl, but just for this game and the season. So how do you go about? The Bills were 28-30 coming into this game on, you know, Josh Allen's tush push, and the defense was able to stop him not once but twice in very critical spots. Now, as you said, the offense, it's not, you know, lighting it up. It's not deep balls. It's these small plays like Xavier Worthy out on a screen, able to get 8 or 9 yards, you know, just behind the line of scrimmage because he's fast. Pacheco getting 7 yards, you know, Kelsey across the middle, Smith-Schuster getting, you know, touches when it matters, especially in this game. So even though it's not per se, you know, the sexiest offense, it's not the smoothest offense, it's not impressive, they are efficient. Mahomes is efficient. And that's what it comes down to. And, you know, when your defense is stepping up and getting those crucial turnovers or stops, they don't need to win by, you know, double digits. They don't need to win by, you know, dominating teams necessarily. Because over the past couple of years, they've had that offense. They've had the offensive juggernauts. They've had the receivers. Now they don't. They have a rookie. They have Marquise Brown. You know, they have Travis Kelce who's coming to the end. So it's a whole different Chiefs team. It's just now it's defensive heavy. And that's what they're relying on. And for them, it works. It's a formula that, that works for them. So for me, you know, it's, I don't think it's a fluke, but I don't think they've been necessarily challenged yet. I mean, the Bills were a challenge, but, you know, as you said, the Eagles, I think they're a different kind of team. So,
yeah. I just think it's also because the fact that up until yesterday, they did not score over 30 points in a game. And I'm not saying that's the only factor. I think barely losing to the Broncos at the time that they did before Bo Nix started to kind of pick it up a little bit. And like, I mean, it's just very difficult to say that it's not a fluke because of what we've seen in recent history, especially with this offense of having, I mean, Pacheco's in his, what, third or fourth year. Kelce, obviously now getting up in age. Mahomes, who's been one of the best quarterbacks in our lifetime. So it's hard to say it's not a fluke that the fact that they just scored over 30 points for the first time this season. So enough about that, but I do have another question based on the AFC, because we've seen now the Kansas City going for the three-peat. They've been to past five Super Bowls or something like that.
Yeah, it's four or five or five or six. Yeah, I think.
Yeah. When is another team in the AFC going to step it up?
Yeah, Nick, I think you, that's a great question. I was just about to say, I don't think that the Chiefs season necessarily a fluke. I think it's also, we're so reliant on the other teams in the AFC. When are they going to step up? So I think you asked a great question, you know, because we talked about this is the Bills season. This is the greatest they've looked. Joe Burrow and company, they're doing their thing, but then they have those fluky losses. Lamar Jackson, potentially MVP, he's playing great. They acquired Derrick Henry. And they fall short again. I am not 100% sure when we'll see another team rise to the occasion. It seems like each year is just the same story with each of these teams where, well, Lamar's looked better than last year, and they still got knocked out early. Josh Allen, MVP, he can't make it to the Super Bowl. So I don't know. You know, I'll flip it back to you. What do you think, or who do you think will be that team in the AFC to rise to the occasion?
Yeah, I definitely think it's the Cleveland Browns. No, I'm kidding. Honestly, we both thought it was going to be the Bills this year throughout the entire season. Like you mentioned, Josh Allen playing really good. Baltimore throughout the entire season, obviously getting Derrick Henry. they were looking like a better team than last year. I'm thinking that it might be probably next year or the following year that another AFC team might step up. And I'm thinking it's one of like the top tier teams. I can even see like a Denver probably sneaking in, especially with how young and good their talent is, especially like Bo Nix. They have Cortland Sutton, and it's looking good, right? So I think realistically, right, I think if the Bengals are able to re-sign Ja'Marr Chase, because they still have not re-signed him, even to this day, we talked about this episode 2. I think it realistically could be the Bengals, because Joe Burrow, he's been looking good. Ja'Marr Chase, they have potential DPOY this year in Trey Hendrickson. And the overall offense of the Bengals has been looking good as well. That defense is kind of the question mark for me, but we're going to see. They have a lot of good draft picks coming up. But I do think that it could be the Bengals that we see overthrow the Chiefs, if not the Ravens or the Bills. I can even see if the Steelers kind of figure it out with the wide receiver room, and really Najee Harris figures out that he's not a speed back anymore. I think it could be them. I think realistically we're looking at those top teams that have been in the playoffs and have made a deep run and then just ran into the Chiefs that could possibly overthrow them.
Yeah, I think that the Cincinnati Bengals, I think you hit it on the head. I think they're the team that I'm looking forward to just getting into the playoffs, because the Chiefs were pretty scared of the Bengals if they made it to the playoffs. I mean, obviously Joe Burrow, his record against Mahomes, even though it's 3-2, I think it is, the Bengals have been that threat to the Chiefs. And let's see how they start out next season. But, you know, that's a whole other episode. But I want to see the Bengals make it. I think if they make it into the playoffs, they are a dangerous team on offense. That defense, as you said, needs some work. But I think Joe Burrow is more efficient, and he can be that guy who beats Mahomes. So I will agree with you on the Bengals. I think I want to see the Bengals make it. I think they're the next team in the AFC to rise to the occasion.
Yeah. And now we're going to flip it over to the NFC and talk about the absolute beatdown between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Commanders. Now, going into this week, if you guys remember, last week we made our prediction on who's going to win this game. I said the Philadelphia Eagles, and Mike pulled a fast one and chose the Washington Commanders. Now, going into this game, I was like, okay, Washington could possibly win it, like their Cinderella run. But then I saw, 7 rushing touchdowns for Philadelphia, which ties an NFL record in the playoffs. Mike, can we please talk about the offensive juggernaut of the Philadelphia Eagles real quick?
Yeah, I just want to first off say that, you know, I know defenses in playoffs wins you games, and that is what happened here. But flipping it to the offense, as you said, Jalen Hurts clearly was not affected by that ankle. He ran for 3 touchdowns, had a throwing touchdown to A.J. Brown. It was just overwhelming for the Commanders' defense. Eventually, from the fumbles that the Commanders had, it just wore out that Commanders' defense. So it was, you know, as expected, in my opinion. But yeah, the offense that Eagles have, it's lethal. I mean, they're a first down, they're a run team. Saquon, you know, first attempt, 60-yard touchdown. I mean, how do you stop this guy? He's making the Giants look embarrassing. I mean, absolutely just what a joke of an organization that franchise is. But yeah, he's having a great season. He had another game, 3 touchdowns on only 15 attempts, by the way, which I think he should get more touches. But if he's doing this, I mean, what does it matter?
Yeah, and kind of the touch on the defense too. I mean, Jaden Daniels in Washington's offense, 4 turnovers. Now, going into this game, we mentioned Philadelphia Eagles, number one defense in the league. And I can't wait for more comments to roast Mike's Super Bowl prediction, as we've been reading your guys' comments, so we appreciate all the support that you guys are giving us. But to kind of touch on this game specifically, I was not impressed with Washington at all. Like, it made me look absolutely pissed, to say the least, as a Lions fan, to see the Eagles just wipe the floor with Washington. Now, I want to kind of touch on the fact that the tush push. Let's talk about what happened with the tush push. Obviously, Frankie Louvu wanted to time it, and he jumped over the line, I think, 3 times. And then the referee came out and said, we can award a score if Washington continues to do this. Have you ever heard of a rule like that?
I personally have not, Nick. I think that was a bizarre situation. I've never heard of a situation like that in my entire life of watching football.
Yeah.
It was just a weird situation.
Because I've heard, like, if the crowd gets too loud, they can award a first down. I've heard that, right? That happened in a Lions game back in the 90s against, I want to say it was Philadelphia, in the Pontiac Silverdome. But I've never heard that a referee can give a touchdown, even if they don't score, because of them just jumping over the line. I always thought it would have been either a replay of the play or an automatic first down. Yes, the ball was placed at the 1-yard line, but I thought it would have been another first down per se, right?
Yeah.
And I want to ask you something about this too, because we were talking about, yes, Washington has a bright future, right, with Jaden Daniels. This offseason, obviously, now Washington is in the offseason. What do you think they can improve on?
Yeah, I think that Washington needs a lot of pieces still. I think even though without the pieces they need, they still made it this far is kind of impressive. And that all goes back to Dan Quinn, Jaden Daniels, obviously. But I think they need another receiver. I think they need to definitely get in the running back market, as this game, for instance, Jaden Daniels was shut down 5 for 48. He did have a touchdown. But besides that, Brian Robinson's behind him. He wasn't effective. And they don't have a running back, too. They have Chris Rodriguez, but he's almost, you know, who's that? It's like they need to get in the running back market. So they need a receiver. They need a running back, and then obviously they need to beef up this defense, because they need a D-line, they need some corners, but there's still some pieces away. And you know what the nice thing is, Nick? They have $102 million in cap space.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's a lot of money to play around with, especially with the season they just had. People are going to be wanting to play for this organization under Dan Quinn, led by Jaden Daniels. So no doubt in my mind, in the offseason, they'll definitely make some big splashes.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I was, when I saw like this game specifically and knew what kind of questions we wanted to ask each other, I specifically was like, okay, what can Washington improve on? Wide receivers, running back, defense, right? That offensive line is good, right? They have a solid offensive line. Their running backs, I mean, you touched on it, Brian Thomas, and really there's nobody other than him.
Yeah, and Brian Robinson. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you look at wide receivers. I mean, you have Dwame Brown. You have Terry McLaurin. You don't really have that solidified wide receiver three. And I can see them drafting someone to kind of be a wide receiver three, if not signing somebody in free agency. And then I think specifically the corner position as well. I mean, you just got Marshon Lattimore, who has been getting torched all season with Washington. So I think a lot of aspects about this team need some work in the offseason. And like you mentioned it, a lot of players are going to want to play for this team under Dan Quinn and Jane Daniels. And with that cap space, I think you're going to have a really solid team going into next season, as they were already pretty solid this year.
Yeah, Washington definitely has a bright future ahead of them. But let's go ahead and transition to the big game, the one that is coming up, that everybody's mm-hmm. going to be watching, the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, my prediction was not right. The Commanders are not here. But you know what?
None of our prediction was right. We both had the Bills.
Welcome to the Gridiron Podcast, where we don't know anything about football. I think I'm going to definitely take the Eagles here. The reason being, though, I think that, like I said, defenses win you games, and I think the defensive line will cause problems for that offensive line. I think they have a chance at shutting down Pacheco and getting to Mahomes. I think that's the big key. Not that the Chiefs' defensive line isn't good, but the Eagles have the best offensive line in football. So I think that's the big difference. And eventually, you can't keep playing defense forever if you're the Chiefs. You got to go score points. That'll be the difference maker.
Yeah. I mean, it's a rematch of the Super Bowl that happened 2 years ago. And we saw what happened with the phantom pass interference call and then pass interference on the other side. So I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take the Eagles here. I think Saquon Barkley is just an absolute beast. And then in terms of wide receivers, you have A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith. Those guys have had solid seasons all year. Jalen Hurts, clearly not affected with that ankle, as you mentioned earlier. And the offensive line, we touched on it last episode, where they average, I think, 3 yards before even being touched. And the league average is 1. And then that defense, that stacked defense, the secondary, probably one of the best in the league, especially younger talent in Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. So I'm going to take the Eagles here. I think realistically, it could be a blowout. I'm going to say probably 35-21. I'll say the score is going to be. And I think this year it will be the Philadelphia Eagles raising a Lombardi trophy.
As much as I hate both teams, I'm going to take the Eagles too, as I said before. I think the score prediction for me is going to be 29-18 Eagles. I think that, as you said, the defense will shut down this offense, and I think the Eagles will be raising that trophy. So I think Jalen Hurts will finally get his revenge. A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith will all get theirs. And you know what? Shout out Oren Burks too. He's been playing good football for the Eagles since being picked up, and nobody's really talked about it. But former Packer, but you know, hopefully he gets a chip. That'd be cool. But yeah, I'm going to go with the Eagles. I think the Eagles will win. Definitely not a Chiefs hater here. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, so that's going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you guys for tuning in to the Gridiron Podcast. You guys can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube. And thank you guys for the support so far this season. We've been seeing your comments, seeing the engagement that you guys have been having with our episodes and our shorts. Those will continue to come out. And as always, we'll see you guys every single Thursday, and little bit of a different episode next week instead of, obviously, because the Super Bowl is in 2 weeks. But see you guys next Thursday. Peace.